Blog Talk Radio.
Hope you enjoyed the Success Songs original composition. For music and words that create powerful moments in your day, go to successsongs.com and hear life from a higher vibration.
All right. Hey, good morning. This is Baba Jahi, and you've tuned in to Home Based Business 101, and we thank you for sharing your morning, your day, your time with us. Hey, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, I'm so excited this morning to be able to be with you once again. And yes, once again today, this will be a listen-only show. I won't be able to interact with you. As I told you, I'm working through a computer technology thing here in the local city that I'm with, and hopefully my internet will be back on at home next week when I do my next week broadcasts. I should be taken care of tomorrow. So basically, I'm just able to use my telephone to call in, do the show, and go over what, you know, I have designed for you. Today's show is called What's in Your Library? What's in Your Business Library? You know, it's very important. You know, if you're going to build a business and if you make that shift from employee mindset to business owner mindset, is developing a mindset. And one of the ways you do that is to let great books, good books, help shape your mind. Now, I'm an avid reader, you know, and I tell people, whether you're in business or not, you still, to me, should, you know, be doing a lot of reading. I do, one of the things I do is I don't hardly watch any TV. You know, now and then, you know, I think the last major thing I watched on TV was the Masters, you know, trying to see if Tiger was going to be able to pull it out. I mean, he said he was a fraction off. He almost, you know, on that last day, started looking like Tiger again, you know, first couple of days. I mean, and just to think, if he hadn't fell that far behind, you know, him and Phil Mickelson, you know, they might would have made one of them great comebacks in terms of Masters history. But anyway, I mean, that was the last thing I really watched on TV. So I don't do a lot of TV watching. And then one of the things that I do, I have a thing that I do at times to, you know, jumpstart my business all over again. If I need to hit some new heights and some new peaks, I go on what's called a 30-day mental fast. A 30-day mental fast. You might say, well, Bobby Jahi, what's a 30-day mental fast? Hey, no TV, no radio, no newspapers. You know, I totally block everything else that's going on in the world out and focus on totally what I need to accomplish. And, you know, some people say, no TV, you got to be kidding. Well, you know, I've been had a long, saying long, long, long time ago, you know, and this is not, you know, putting down, I don't put things down. I just want you to understand. So when I say something, just try to understand it in the context of how I see the world. You know, I've been had a saying ever since like about 1972. I refer to the television as the idiot box, because too often people let it shape its opinions, and it doesn't have nothing to do with reality. I mean, so many lies are marketed through TV. That's why a friend of mine, he calls it tell-lie-vision. Hear that? Tell-lie-vision. You know, they tell lies that shape your vision. And people's whole critique of something will be something that they've seen on TV, because people don't want to pick up books and read. And, you know, I love reading. I really do. And, you know, even though I do, you know, email communication with people, there's still a few people that I do the old-fashioned communication with where I sit down and I love to write a letter. You know, I know it's snail mail, but I just love something about that, writing a letter and putting it in an envelope with a stamp and mail it to somebody, and they open it up and they sit and they read it. Or someone responds back to me in letter format and I sit and read it. But, you know, the thing is books, letting great books shape your life. And so I'm going to try to get through as much of this as I can today, but this probably is going to end up turning into a two-part show because there are so many books that I could share with you, and I'm going to share a few today. I want to start off, though, with one of the books that I use for daily devotions for spiritual growth and peace of mind, and that's by a favorite author of mine and also a mentor, and that's Ayanna Van Zandt. And some of you might have heard of Ayanna, you know, some of the different books she's written. And, you know, this is one, it's called Until Today, Daily Devotions for Spiritual Growth and Peace of Mind. I'm going to read you the reading for today. This is one of the things that I do
in the morning, people, is that I have certain things that I focus on. And Niyana's book is one of the ones that I go through in the morning, starting off my morning day. April 23rd, and the affirmation is, I am willing to acknowledge a mistake as a lesson in humility and a powerful healing opportunity. She goes on to say, very often we waste time, energy, and readily available joy because of our failure to acknowledge an error. We know that pencils have erasers. We know that computers allow us to cut and paste. We know that tests can be taken again and that wrong sizes can be exchanged. Yet for some strange reason, one of our greatest challenges is admitting to ourselves and others that we have made a mistake. Perhaps as children we were spiked for breaking things or criticized for shortcomings. Maybe those who raised us wanted so badly for us to be good that they left us little margin for error. Perhaps we believe that it's not safe to acknowledge or admit an error. Maybe we have heard so much about human errors that have caused great tragedy, hardship, or heartache that we are simply afraid to say, I made a mistake. This simple statement is a powerful acknowledgement that there is spiritual power in human weakness. A mistake is a great opportunity for learning and for healing. A mistake reminds us that no matter how old we are, how smart we are, regardless of how much we have accomplished, we are still human. A mistake is a lesson in humility. A mistake is the way we learn our limitations. It is a reminder that there is always more for us to learn about ourselves and our capabilities. When we grow in humility to a place where we can acknowledge, accept, and admit our mistakes, we grow in compassion for ourselves and others as we learn to understand, to surrender, and heal our judgments. Until today, acknowledging a mistake may have caused you fear, anguish, anxiety, or shame. Just for today, embrace your humanness. If you have made a mistake today, acknowledge it. If you have made one in the past that has had lingering effects, admit it. Affirmation for today. Today, I am willing to acknowledge and admit I am human enough to make mistakes. Anyway, this is a book of, like I said, daily devotions and for spiritual growth and peace of mind. And every day there's a reading, and that's today's reading of April 23rd. But this is one of the books that I read from and get, you know, daily motivation for devotion. And then next I go to my book called Selection from the Husea, The Sacred Wisdom of Ancient Egypt, written by Dr. Marlana Karinga. And this is a very, very powerful book. And the book is very powerful because, you know, let me give you some background about why the book was written. For at least two centuries, conscious and committed thinkers have taught people about ancient Ethiopia and Egyptian heritage. Interestingly, conscious about the cultural heritage during that period seems to have originated amongst African Americans in the diaspora or Western Hemisphere, away from the African continent. Certainly since consciousness has been an integral force in the growth and development of African Americans and other conscious people in the Western Hemisphere as well, and all over Africa for over 100 years. Throughout that period, there has been strong appreciation for the highly developed spirituality of the African people of the Nile Valley, who we call ancient Egyptians. And Dr. Marlana Karinga, along with Cheka Anna Diop and Carter G. Woodson and George G.M. James, has made a distinct contribution to the honorable tradition. Dr. Karinga's book, The Husea, is an outstanding compilation and rendition of selections from the most important sacred literature of all time. The need for such works is long past due, and Dr. Karinga should be commended for his pioneering effort in that direction. The quest for the spiritual enrichment among African people in the physical and cultural diaspora has led to the adaptation of the holy books of other peoples, the Torah, the Bible, the Quran. Ironically, the sacred literature of ancient Egypt, which predates those texts by thousands of years, is the source of much of the wisdom in those holy books. As Dr. Karinga points out, the fact that African people could find spiritual comfort in those alien scriptures speaks both to the African contributions to those religions and intensity of the African spiritual quest. With all due regard, to the black tradition within the so-called great religions, it's now time to return to the source. The Hosea is thus a vital step toward the recreation and restoration of our spiritual foundation. The texts selected by Dr. Karinga are from the truly great books of ancient Egypt. These selections, as well as the great arrangement into seven sections, provide a suggested framework for the development of a larger and more definitive holy book. And the translations done by Dr. Karinga are greatly enhanced by his wide familiarity with many languages, especially the African languages, as well as his talent as a poet. The Hosea is basically a very, very powerful book, because the book basically goes and it shares, as it says, scriptures and teachings and wisdom that predate the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah. And a lot that we read in those books that we think originated there, we basically find in other places, such as the Book of Amenemope. And the Book of Amenemope basically is a book that predated. Well, I want to use the word predated. Let's just cut to the chase. The Book of Amenemope basically is a book that was plagiarized and copied, and we have in the Bible was called Proverbs. And when you read the Book of Amenemope, you will see much of what you see in Proverbs comes from the ancient Egyptian text of Amenemope. So, you know, it's important, again, to read and have books that help open your eyes, open your mind, and help you understand the origin of things. Because if not, then you will believe what you see on TV when they show you the Ten Commandments and the book on a movie by Cecil B. DeMille and all of that. And it's so far from the truth that it's a shame, people. But again, you have to, you know, read and open your mind. And it's very, very important that we do that. And I'm going to read a passage from the Book of Amenemope. And again, this is from the book called Selections from the Hosea, the Sacred Wisdom of Ancient Egypt. It's one of the books that helps me, you know, guide myself and stay on a righteous course. And it's from the Book of Amenemope. He says, "Let us steer a righteous course so that we may carry the wicked across without becoming like them. Raise them up, give them your hand, and then leave them in the hands of God. Fill them with the food of your kindness that they might be satisfied and repent. Another good thing in the heart of God is that you pause and think before speaking." And that's from the Book of Amenemope and Selections from the Hosea, the Sacred Wisdom of Ancient Egypt. A book that you should definitely pick up and read, and you'll be surprised of a lot of stuff that you read in this book that comes from the sacred wisdom of ancient Egypt that predates the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah, and passages that you see about the risen Savior and stuff like that, written way, way before the Bible ever existed. And much of what's in the Bible is taken from the ancient Egyptian texts. One other thing, and it's not that I'm doing a religious class this morning, even though for some of you need to know in terms of my background, I did at one time teach theology for the Holy Ghost Fathers in Lafayette, Louisiana. So, you know, I do, besides being a business person and all of that, I'm also a lay theologian and have taught theology in the seminary. And, you know, there's a lot that's not told to the everyday person in the church, the mosque, and the synagogue that people need to know. But getting back to my point is that, you know, go to the root. When you go to the root, you'll be comforted to know, you know, what's going on, and that the original Trinity was man, woman, and child. And when you go to ancient Egypt, you see it with Isis, Osiris, and Horus. The European came along and changed that and went to Egypt and took the concept of the Holy Trinity and turned it into Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But originally it was man, woman, and chow. Again, you don't have to take my word for it, you know, and I ain't, yeah, I'm not in the business of trying to convert anybody to any other religious outlook. I'm just teaching truth, honesty, and wisdom. And when you go to ancient Egypt, to the temples, you will see that concept of man, woman, and child as the Holy Trinity, not no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Anyway, The Hoosier is one of the other books that that I go through daily. It helps me daily with a lot that I deal with. And now another book, and anybody else, well, all it's got to do with business. Don't worry, I'm gonna tie it all together for you. You know, Baba Jah, he ties stuff together now. Another book that I keep in my library and I read and study is, it's called Stolen Legacy: Greek Philosophy and Stolen Egyptian Philosophy, written by George G.M. James. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful book, because in this book is one of the things that I use for my own personal development, and also that I use in my youth entrepreneur class. And there's the 10 cardinal virtues that was taught in ancient Egypt. And they go like this. The first one is control of thought. You know how to learn, you know, and let me explain what I'm talking about here. When I say 10 cardinal virtues, when basically Egyptian society was a very spiritual society, with, you know, in terms of the priesthood, and it was an ethical system that people went through. Some people refer to as called the Egyptian mystery system. And a neophyte, which, you know, was the beginner, would come there for studies to move up in the society and learn, you know, what needs to be taught in order to be able to rise to rank and status in that society, because the society was, you know, a very ethical society based on religious, well, let's say spiritual views and values. I mean, again, you know, the book is called Stolen Legacy. And it's Greek philosophy, it's stolen Egyptian philosophy. And the 10 cardinal virtues are very important. And, you know, some people still have a hang-up about Egypt. Let me clarify one thing, too. There were no slaves in Egypt, and there were no slaves that built the pyramids. The pyramids were public work projects. This is written, it is documented, and there were no Jews that built no pyramids in Egypt. This is written and documented. And, you know, and again, you know, you need to just do your research so that you know the truth. Anyway, the 10 cardinal virtues in which people had to learn and which you can apply to your business life. Virtue number one, control of thought, learning how to control your thoughts. This is very important because we are what we think. See, so you hear that in Think and Grow Rich, but you didn't know that the ancient Egyptians been taught that, control your thought. When you control your thought, next you're able to control your actions. See, then you want to control your actions, thought and actions. You know, we have something that we do with the children. We say, you know, hey, think, say, do something good. I'm going to think something good. I'm going to do something good. Think, say, do something good. See, so when you control your thoughts and you think good thoughts, you'll have good actions. Next is steadfast of purpose. See, then after you got your thoughts and your actions in order, you can really begin to be steadfast in your purpose. And when you're steadfast in your purpose, next you will find that you can identify with your spiritual life or your higher ideals, which is number four, identifying your spiritual life or your higher ideals. In other words, you know, the whole essence of the Egyptian mystery system was to help man and woman come in tune with God, so that thus they could be godlike. Godlike in the sense of being a creator, bringing beauty and harmony into the world. Okay, once you've controlled your thoughts, controlled your actions, and identified with the spiritual life, the next is you have to have evidence of having a mission in life. See, people, this is from ancient Egypt, but you can use this with your business. I mean, and this is one of the reasons I've been, you know, people say, well, how you've been successful in business? You know, before getting into Think and Grow Rich and some of the other books, you know, this is what led me to even understanding Napoleon Hill's writings and other writings, because they understood this. It's just that you're not told and you're not taught where all of these things come from. So, I mean, you know, then, like I said, you got that identity of your spiritual life, that evidence of having a mission, and then evidence to a call of spiritual order. See, once you got that mission in life, and you've identified that there's higher ideals and that you need to be in tune with your spiritual life. You know, you hear where people tell you about when they become a priest. Some was called, some was sent. See, evidence of a call to spiritual orders or priesthood in the mysteries. See, when you become in tune, believe me, people, this ain't spookism. When you become in tune, you will hear a higher voice. You will hear a higher calling. And that calling will steer you to what you need to do. And these next ones is kind of tough. But you hear about it and you read about it in the Bible, but we don't interpret it. We turn the other cheek. But what they say here in ancient Egypt was freedom from resentment when under the experience of persecution and wrong. See, now for a lot of us, that's hard to do. Freedom from resentment when under the persecution of wrong. You know, or we have a saying that we say, from the Bible is that, you know, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Yeah, okay, we're free. That's the same thing. Freedom from resentment when under the experience of persecution and wrong. You know, somebody wronged you. You know, hey, make sure you try to put yourself in a position they can't do it again. But it's not, I'm going to get even. No, Les Brown said, don't get even, get motivated. All of these things tie in. See, freedom from resentment when under the experience of wrong. That's number 7. Number 8, confidence in the power of the master as a teacher. See, who is the master? Now, that's a great question for a lot of people. See, you're going to have mentors here, you know, in the physical sense of your life on earth. You got to have confidence in your mentor that, you know, what they're teaching you is right. And then there's the ultimate master, the creator of all. And you got to have confidence in when you hear the call from God, when you hear and that you be in tune and that you listen and that you follow wise instructions. So you got to have, you know, it's a confidence to be able to do that. Then, number 9, confidence in one's ability to learn. See, not only do you have to have confidence in the master to teach you, you got to have confidence in your own ability to learn. This means you got to have self-confidence. Again, it's all out of the book called Stolen Legacy. And then number 10, it says readiness or preparedness for initiation. And what they mean by that is that when the pupil is ready, the master will appear. See, when you ultimately are ready, God will manifest in your life. Believe me, people, it is so true. God will, you will have, you know, a tremendous manifestation will take place in your life when you are ready. Because when the pupil is ready, the master will appear. And that's, again, from a book called Stolen Legacy. Now, let me get into a couple of the other books that have helped shape my life and helped me with my business and also with my work and some things that might help you. Next is Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Pablo Freire. Powerful, 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 powerful book, because, you know, it's just so important to understand what is human freedom. You know, what is human freedom? And until we address that and understand the suffering that we see on this earth and the dehumanization of people. See, I'm a different kind of business person. You know, the purpose of my business is more than about making money. You know, it's about human freedom. And human freedom means being able to have the ability to do what I want, when I want, in relationship with other humans that does not cause harm or jeopardy to someone else. See, so it's deeper than making a buck. Concern for humanization leads at once to the recognition of dehumanization. Not only is it an ontological possibility, but it's a historical reality. This is out of Pablo Fier's book, Pedagogy of the Oppressed. And, you know, basically he's talking about is that, you know, we got to address the areas of dehumanization. And that's why, you know, there's such books as written called A One-Minute Millionaire by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen, in which they talk about creating the enlightened millionaire. That's why my guest that I had on, Dan Henneman, who talked about Blockbuster Your Path, if you remember what he said, his mission is to help entrepreneurs spread global prosperity, not global destruction. Global prosperity. So we got to recognize dehumanization and what has been done wrong to hurt people and correct it. And in most cases, vulgar, rigid capitalism has destroyed cultures, has enslaved people, and has been a detriment to humanity. And so we got to look at how to do business, you know, another way. Believe me, people, if you're in it just for the buck, you're part of the old regime, and we need regime change. You know, now I'm not saying that, you know, we should not have a business in which we focus on making money and being prosperous, but being prosperous in relationship and harmony to our fellow humans. You know, like I told you, I have policies that some people just tell me they would never do. If I have a complaint from a person and they want their money back, I give them their money back. I'd much rather for them to say, you know, Jahi gave me my money back than to say, you know, he said some policy in which such and such, he kept my money anyway. I don't need their money that bad. Even if they're wrong, they can have their money back. See, because it's deeper than a dollar bill. It's about my relationship to humanity. Another book by Pablo Fier is called Pedagogy of Hope. And this is really a deep book here. Because the ultimate thing of what's going on in the world is, you know, we have to, as Jesse Jackson says, keep hope alive. Hope for change. Hope that the world can be better, be made better by what we do and make it better. So hope is so, so important. And, you know, it's important that we continue to have hope, you know. But then hope is not just enough by itself. If he says we have to bring our hope into being through our actions, which gives goes back to pedagogy. Stolen Legacy, you know, controlling your actions. So, you know, these are a couple books. I got a few more I want to share before our time runs out here. And now I'm going to take you to, let's see. Two books here, right here, I really want to share real quick. One is called A Change in Images of Psychological Slavery by good friend and colleague Dr. Naeem Akbar. Naeem Akbar, he wrote a whole book on change in images of psychological slavery and, you know, why we need to break these chains and these images that, you know, hold us back in terms of personal inferiority and, you know, to different things that are still holdovers from slavery. And slavery had a detrimental effect not only on African-Americans in this country, but also on European-Americans. It gave both of us false consciousness, which is something that in Pedagogy of the Press, Pablo Fier talks about in terms of how to overcome false consciousness. So it damaged both of us. Because as Martin Luther King said, you know, you can't hold a man down without also holding you down. And in his book, you know, he just goes over, you know, the issues that work still have on people today. You know, why in some places people refer to a job as a slave. You know, hey, where you going slaving at? You know, because people were forced to work. And when we take it even to a deeper level, You know, today people are happy that some people are happy if they got a job, you know what I mean? But people are forced to work. And one of the things that we need to focus on is how to create new work atmospheres, how to create cooperative ventures between employers and employees and a cooperative spirit that gets the task done. And that's so important to be able to do that. So, you know, The Changing Images of Psychological Slavery. It's a very, very good book by Naeem Akbar. And then one of my favorite authors, and see, I ain't even got to my motivational books yet here, but one of my favorite authors is Frederick Douglass. Oh, boy, I just love reading Frederick Douglass. Life and Times of Frederick Douglass. Then a book by Frederick Douglass called My Bondage, My Freedom. And it's so powerful. And basically, Frederick Douglass talked about the whole purpose of slavery was to take and crush a person's human spirit and transform a human being into a beast of burden and a brute. And he talked about how he had to fight to keep from being turned into a beast of burden or a brute, and how eventually he was able to run away and escape. And, you know, him and Harriet Tubman, you know, they're I call them saints. You know, they were saints. You know, they did tremendous work in some of the darkest periods of history of this country. Harriet Tubman always said that she could have freed more people if they had known they were slaves. I apply that to today. We could show more people how to make alternative income if they weren't slaves to an inadequate process of earning income. Just think, for those of you out there that's listening that have your own business and you try to share with family members, as I said on a show the other day. For most of us, we're first-generation entrepreneurs, so we usually don't have anybody in our family that can help guide us into our business ventures. And then when we find, you know, success and things in business, it's hard to even find family members to share it with because they don't know how to appreciate it. And they constantly keep waiting for it to fail so you can go back to doing what they do so that they can see, I told you that wasn't going to work. You know, my family's been, you know, and I love my family. Don't get me wrong. I really love my family members. You know, when I see my family, I'm talking about my sisters, my cousins and stuff. And they've been waiting since 1980 to see when I was going to ever go back to working a job. That was 29 years ago, people. I ain't been back yet. See, and it's like the same with Frederick Douglass said, you know, in his book, he said when he left and ran away, he said the hardest thing was not running away to freedom, but the people he had to leave behind. And so I say that to say to you out there in terms of business, love your family, you know, love your friends, but knowing some things you're going to have to leave them behind because they're mentally not ready to embrace those things yet. And so that's why it's important that you keep good books in your life to read and help you understand and keep you motivated. Another book, favorite of mine, is The Autobiography of a Yogi, Parayesha Yoganandi. Great book. Great book, you know, and this is a tremendous book, Autobiography of a Yogi, and it deals with self-realization. As I shared with you before, on another show, you know, I'm into yoga and meditation. And so, you know, I just happened to, you know, because of that, discovered Yoganandi. And, you know, powerful, powerful information in realm. Self-realization. Because the whole thing of this development of business is finding yourself, your true self. And you find your true self, than being happy with yourself, you know, knowing yourself. See, it's a saying that, you know, that you learn in church says, you know, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Well, they first should start with teaching you how to love yourself, see. You can't love your neighbor like you love yourself until you know how to love yourself. And if people knew how to love themselves, and then they carry that next principle out, love your neighbor like you love yourself, there would not be no murders in the world. There wouldn't be no rapes. There wouldn't be no crime. Because, see, you would not want somebody to do to you. You know how the saying go? Do unto others as you would have people do unto you, unless you want somebody to murder you. Unless she, the sick mind tries to impose sickness on other people. But them same sick people would not want people to impose sickness on them. You know, there wouldn't be no wars if we loved our neighbor like we loved ourselves. It's amazing how wars are fought, and the countries that lead the charge want to talk about how much they in tune to God. Hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. One of the reasons in my personal growth and development, I was in the Vietnam War. I got discharged from the military for protesting against the war while being in the war. Yeah, check that one out. What got to me was, you know, one night the chaplain said, we're going to get a good night's sleep, and we're going to pray to God bless us so tomorrow morning we can wake up and kill a gook for God. Now, God ain't got no gooks. And God don't take sides over, you know, these people need to be killed or these need to people, other people need to be killed. But, I mean, you know, if we loved our neighbor like we loved ourselves, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. If you learn to love yourself, then you can love your neighbor like you love yourself. Reason that we're not able to practice that, and this is deep. Malcolm X talked about it when he was referring to African Americans making a new discovery of themselves and redevelop themselves. We hate ourselves. That's why we need to read self-development and motivational books. And it's deeper than black and white. The average human being hates themselves. I know you sitting out there listening. I don't hate myself, Baba Jahi. There's things that you do that I could say, in most cases, unless you're really tuning in to your higher calling, there's things that you do that verify that you hate yourself. You don't hate yourself, then, you know, why are you miserable? Why are you not achieving what you need to achieve? We're supposed to live life and live life more abundantly. Why are you not living life more abundantly? There's something you're not doing right. What is that? I don't know. Need help with trying to find out what it is? Hey, give me a call, 252-977-6834. 252-977-6834. I'm going over today, you know, what's in your library? Books that can help you with your business development. We got about 4 minutes left here, and I'm going to cover a couple more books. I figured this was going to end up having to be a two-part show. And so let me get to a couple of other books here to close out today's show. And I'll do this again on Tuesday because I haven't even gotten halfway through all the books that are in front of me. Let me give you this one real quick because this is important because it also relates to, you know, in order to be able to enjoy your business, you got to be healthy. This book is called Satan, I'm Taking My Health Back by Dr. Jawanza Kunjufu. Satan, I'm Taking My Health Back by Dr. Jawanza Kunjufu. And he goes over lifestyles and habits, better eating methods. Dr. Kunjufu is a vegetarian. And he just goes over, you know, how, you know, we killing ourselves with the way we eat. You know, causing us to have heart disease and, you know, all kind of stuff that's going on with our bodies because we're eating wrong. And, you know, he has some questions that he asks people and that he answers in this book. The title of the book again is called Satan, I'm Taking Back My Health. He says, do you want God's best for your life? Question number one. Question number two, do you know God's healing scriptures? Question number three, would you like to live a drug-free, energetic life. Now, he's talking about drug-free. He's talking about all them prescriptions that people be on. I mean, it's sad. People get a certain age, and they got you popping pills, all kind of pills. When basically, I juice a lot. I you know, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a secret to being healthy. Well, I take the pill, I drink the juice. You know, I take spinach and beets and carrots, juice that with an apple. That's a great one. Beet, cucumber, carrot, apple with a little bit of garlic, blood purifier, blood cleanser, keeps my blood pressure low. Apple pear juice at night, that's a morning regulator. You drink some juice, you some apples and some pears at night. You won't have no problem with being backed up. You know, when you go sit on the toilet, go poop, come slide right on out. You know, but we are what we eat, you know. You know, and we are more than what we are, what we process, from food to thought. So, you know, pick up this book, Satan, I'm Taking My Health Back, by Dr. Jawanza Kunjufu. And we're down to like 2 minutes left, and what I want to do is, I played Art Williams Tuesday, and I'm going to close out with two of Art's books, and that'll lead me into next week. We'll start with some of the books that most of you are kind of familiar with, by authors like Napoleon Hill, W. Clement Stone, Norman Vincent Peale, Zeke Ziegler, folk like that. But I'm going to close out with, Art Williams has two books called, one is called Pushing Up People, which is a great book for managers. If you're doing network marketing or you're managing people, pick up a copy of Art Williams, Pushing Up People. It might be kind of hard to find. I don't know if you can find it on Amazon or not, but give me a call. You can locate where you can find it at. Because I used to be in A.L. Williams, so I still have my copy. You know, and Art's whole management philosophy is, you know, it's about leadership and a different management style. And then the other book by Art, which is a powerful book called All You Can Do Is All You Can Do, But All You Can Do Is Enough. And, you know, he talks about the power of believing and talks about dreaming. And then also in there is a speech I played the other day, The Do It Principle. So, you know, these are some of the books that help shape my business outlook and keep me grounded and guided and moving forward from ancient Egypt to modern day times in terms of knowledge, wisdom, truth, and understanding. And hey, this has been Baba Jahi. It's been a great week. Hopefully I should be able to interact with you next week. Should have this internet thing taken care of. You live in a little small city, you know, sometimes it takes a little while to work through some kinks with today's technology. But remember, we're in the information age, and in the information age, as Robert Kiyosaki talks about, people make money through providing adequate information. I hope this information that we share with you today has been a blessing to you and has, you know, given you some, a little bit more insight into who I am and how God has shaped my life and what I'm trying to do through this radio program and trying to be a blessing to others. And again, you can call me at 252-977-6834, 252-977-6834. Please leave a comment on the page if you tuned into the show, whether it was you listened to it live or listened to it in the archive. Please leave a comment, and if you would like to know about any of the books that I mentioned today and any of the books that I'm going to mention next week, Tuesday, in more detail, just leave a comment, and I will make sure that I get that information to you. Hey, have a blessed weekend, and know that you were put here for a special purpose. Go find it, and when you find it, believe me, God will respond to you and help you seek and fulfill it. God bless you, and I love y'all, and just thanks for your support, and hey, continue to enjoy life. Talk to you Tuesday, God willing. Peace.